Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. For thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory. Thine is the majesty, and thine is the kingdom, O God, and thou art exalted as head above all. We give you praise, Lord, this morning, because both riches and honor come from you, and thou reignest over all. And we give you glory this morning, Lord, because in your hand it is, there is power and there is might to give strength unto all and to make great. Now therefore, O Lord our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. And this morning, Lord, we are gathered once again in the house of the Lord. Oh, how great thou art, Lord, from before the world ever was, from before there was ever anything, thou art God. And we rejoice in your presence this morning. We give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word gives light. Give the light this morning, Lord, in the face of Jesus Christ. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and be seated. My message this morning I will tell you in a minute, but I'm going to read a scripture first before I tell you what my message is. So turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to start at verse 26 this morning. Now, I love these parables. You've heard me say it so many times. I love these parables. And Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God. This is Mark chapter 4, starting at 26. I'm going to read through 29. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, I want everybody to pay attention this morning. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the air. Now when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. This message this morning, the word of God is self-existent. The self-existent word is what I'll be preaching on this morning. Turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the word. Amen. Now, how many of you love the sound of that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. I love the sound of that. Do you? If you love the sound of that, say amen. Amen. The Word was God. Now, he didn't say exactly that the Word was a part of God, you know, but he said the Word was God. In fact, the very word, the word was the very essence of God. The character of God is in the word. Now, if you want to know about God, the Bible says that his word is the express image. See, you read the word to find out who he is. But because the Bible says we know that God is the only self-existent being. See, if you look up the word God in a dictionary or somewhere, you might find where they might say he's a self-existent being. He's the only self-existent being. But we are told that the Word was God. So that means that the Word is self-existent. How many of you understand that this morning? Well, the message this morning is the self-existent word. Now, what does it mean to be self-existent? Well, you know, that's not exactly all that we're going to talk about this morning, but we're going to talk more about, not only is the word self-existent, I want you to pay attention and take notes of this message because, you know, it is important. Not only is it self-existent, but it is self-sustaining. See, the self-existent word of God will sustain itself. The parable that we just read, it said, you know, the kingdom of God is like a man that plants seed. And then they go to sleep. See, night and day and so forth. They don't know what is going on. See, I mean, when you plant seed in the ground, you don't go dig it up after 2 days. You just leave it and just go on about your business. See, and Jesus said the kingdom of God is like that. He said, but he sleeps night and day. He doesn't know what's going on with that seed. He said, because the earth bringeth forth seed of itself. See, that word, like the seed, will sustain itself. See, and we're going to talk about that this morning, how that word sustains itself. See, and once you get this revelation, you know, you can get anything that you want from the Lord. See, because the power of faith is in the word of God. A couple of weeks ago, I told you that I was praying about, I said, Lord, what is the culture that we should develop in this church? And he said, faith. You know, and I said, well, so I started, you know, what is going to become a series on faith. And last week we had a guest speaker also. He talked on faith. I didn't tell him what to preach. You know, the Lord told him. You know, and today I'm still on that same subject, but in a different dimension. See, because faith, in order to be valid, must be based on the word of God. How many of you can say amen to that? Now, today we're talking about the word being self-existent. In the beginning was the word. See, before there was anything made, there was the word of God. He was just there. He just existed. See, he wasn't created because all things were made by him. And there was nothing made that was not made by him. And he was, you know, the life. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. See, the word of God from the beginning was self-existent. But today I'm going to show you how also the word is self-sustaining. You say self-sustaining? Yes. And what I'm going to show you this morning is this. Once the Lord speaks the word, you don't have to worry about it. That word will come to pass. How many of you say amen? Amen. Well, it doesn't look like we are sure this morning. Is everybody awake this morning? Yes. I say, when the Lord speaks the word, that word will come to pass. Can I get an amen on that? Yes. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away. And they will. Because he will create a new heaven and a new earth. But not one jot or one tittle of his word will pass away. I mean, that's how, you know, that's how great the word is. It's beyond heaven. It's beyond earth. All of those things may pass away, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. Praise ye the name of the Lord. In the book of Psalm 119 and verse 89, we are told that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is forever settled. It cannot be changed. See, once God has spoken it, and I'm going to read another story to you in a minute here, then we are going to reveal the revelation that is really behind this message. Now, in the book of Luke, and in the book of Matthew, and in the book of Mark, the Lord gives many examples throughout all these Gospels on how people can use their faith and so forth. He talks about when he comes back, whether he will find faith and all of that, which we talked about before. But today, I want to go back to Mark chapter 4, the same Mark chapter 4 that I opened up with this morning. And I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, I'm going to read this story, which is probably familiar with many of us, in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to start. Now, I read the parable already where he said, it's, you know, the kingdom of God is like a man cast seed into the ground and just sleeps and doesn't know what is happening, but it springs up by itself. I read that. But I'm going to read in the same Mark chapter 4 at verse 35 now. And on the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. So that's what he said. And when they had sent away the multitude, this is Mark chapter 4 and now verse 36, they took him even as he was in the ship. See? I mean, he just entered the ship just the way he was. And there were also with them some other little ships. And as soon as they set sail to pass on to the other side, like Jesus said, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And Jesus was in the hinder parts of the ship, that's in the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they came and awoke him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? See, isn't that like people today? I mean, the smallest old little thing, challenge that comes to their life, they say the Lord doesn't care. They say if the Lord were good, he wouldn't allow all of these things to come to us. See, that's what people say. You know, that's the same thing like people today. When something happens to people, they blame the Lord for not caring. See, they blame the disciples, they blame the Lord for sleeping. But you know, Jesus, he knew that the word that he spake already would sustain itself. How many of you say amen? Because he said, let us cross over to the other side. That's what he said. And he said it, and it was done, and he went to sleep. And it didn't matter whether come sun or shine or rain or storm or thunder or hail or anything, they would get over to the other side. Because that's what Jesus said. And if the disciples would have been paying attention, they would have known that Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. He didn't say, let us go into the middle of the sea and perish. See? So, here's what happens. All hell broke loose. There are storms and everything, and the disciples were afraid. They were frightened. But Jesus, he was sleeping. He didn't care about the storm. How many of you know that? He didn't care about the storm. The storm was raging. He was asleep on a pillow. He just was going to sleep. He was going to ride it out. See, he was going to ride out the storm. It's not all the time that the Lord wants to rebuke the storm. Sometimes he just wants you to ride it out. How many of you say amen? Because he said, when you pass through the fire. See, it's not all the time that he's going to prevent you from getting in the fire. Sometimes he will allow you, but you are going to pass through. Because he said, when you pass through. Not when you enter into. See, enter into is a dead end. You're not coming out on the other side if you enter into. That's why David said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He already knew he's coming out on the other side. Now, the word of God will always sustain itself. Now, John chapter 10 and verse 35. It says, the scriptures cannot be broken. Once the scripture is given, once the promise is given, it will sustain itself. Now, Isaiah chapter 55. I want everybody to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. He says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. When the Lord gives the word, he watches over it to perform it. See? And even there are some angels. The Bible says in Psalm 103 and verse 20, you know, he said, bless the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, that hearken unto the voice of his word. See, they are called the holy watchers, as it depicts in Daniel chapter 4. See, when they watch over the word, they make sure it takes place. The Lord, once he gives the word, he doesn't retract it. He doesn't take it back. But one time he said, you all know how when you want to make an oath, you have to swear by somebody greater. See, that's how people make an oath. You know, they either place their hand on the Bible, which is something greater than them. They swear by their mother's grave, or they swear by heaven, or whatever. See, people don't usually swear by themselves. See, but God, God himself, he looked for something greater to swear by. Well, he can't swear by heaven, because heaven is not greater than him. It's his throne. He can't swear by the earth, because the earth is his footstool.
Hallelujah.
I mean, what else can he swear by? So because he couldn't find anything greater to swear by, he swore by himself. He swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. And when he said that word, I don't care whether it is the unbelief of Sarah, whether it is the planning and anything else, nothing can change that word. By the immutability of his counsel. He put it down, he stamped it, he sealed it. Now sometimes it looks as if the word is dormant. See, it might take years. In a case of Abraham, it took 25 years. Do you know, I mean, how many of you ever seen this gas ovens or gas cookers and so forth? They have this little pilot light. Everybody knows what I'm pilot flame. They're just like, little flame in there. And the flame is just there. You know? And then when you want to get it started, you crank it up or something. You know, and now all of a sudden there's a big flame. You know, the little flame is always there. I mean, it's like if you go to camping and so forth, and you have a campfire and it's going out. You know, and maybe all you have left is just, the fire is about to go out. You know, you leave it for a long time and so forth. The next thing you know, when you come there and you fan that fire, all of a sudden something, the flame jumps up. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. You see, sometimes the word of God is kind of like that. It looks like it's dormant, but you can find it with your faith. You know, when your faith gets in there, knowing that the word of God will never fail. Anything that God has promised, it will sustain itself. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapters 37 through about 45, I can't read it because it's too many chapters, but I'll just paraphrase the story. Here's the story of Joseph, and you heard me say it in this church before. God made promise to him how that he is going to become great, and his brethren are going to bow down to him and so forth. See? And then the people thought, well, we'll see about that. We'll put you over down here in this dungeon. We'll throw you into slavery or whatever and so forth. Now, not even the dungeon, not even the slavery, not even the prison, not even Potiphar's wife that made up stories against him and all kinds of things. None of those things could keep the word of God from coming to pass. The Lord gave the word, and great is the company that publishes it. The angels that excel in strength, they publish it. The holy watchers, they watch over it. They make sure, and in fact, God himself. And here, so I'm going to read some of the scriptures to you where it always says, in order that it might be fulfilled. See? God, once he spoke the word, now sometimes that it might be fulfilled, that which was already spoken, he will now orchestrate some events. So that word that is already spoken might be fulfilled. How many of you know that in the scriptures? I'm going to read some of it to you right now. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1. In the book of Ezra, chapter 1 and verse 1. Ezra chapter 1 verse 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord might be, by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord now stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom, and he also put it in writing. How many of you see what I'm talking about? God already gave the word by the mouth of Jeremiah. You see? He already gave the prophecy, that he is going to do this thing by Cyrus. See? And God is now watching over that word to fulfill it. And in order that word might be fulfilled, God now begins to stir up the spirit of Cyrus. He didn't know why he was doing it. And now it doesn't matter whether Cyrus was a believer or it didn't matter. As long as God appointed him for his purpose, he was God's servant. See? God can use anybody, whether they believe or don't believe. He will appoint them to carry out his purpose. And even sometimes, there is no extent to which the Lord cannot and will not go in order that he may fulfill his word in your life. All you have to do is believe it. The Bible said of Jesus many times, Jesus, he was the Word. See? And every time he did so many things, just so that the Word might be fulfilled. I may read some of it to you this morning as part of this, this whole subject that we are trying to show this morning. In Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, in verse 22, it says, "Now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child." Now, that prophecy was given years, hundreds of years before that. See? But the Lord, once he gave it, he's going to bring it to pass. Now, so when the fullness of time came, in order that that prophecy might be fulfilled, then so many things happened. Now, here's another prophecy, which the Lord already gave in the scriptures. He gave a prophecy. He said, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." See, now many of you don't know that he gave that prophecy and so forth. But here is what he had to do in order to fulfill it. He said to Joseph, "Take your son, take Mary and the child," it wasn't his son. "Take Mary and the child, run into Egypt and so forth, because Herod is seeking his life. See, and I will stay there and I will bring you word when it is time." See, now Jesus was protected even by the Lord, by the word of wisdom. See, and he came to him and he said in chapter 2 of Matthew, "Then he arose," in verse 14, "and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." See, now that was a dual prophecy. It happened for Jesus and it also happened for Israel, because the Lord called them out of Egypt. See, but, so many things that I don't have time to read all of the "that it might be fulfilled" experiences that happened in the life of Jesus. There's so many things that he did in Matthew chapter 8 and so forth. They brought all the sicknesses and diseases to him and so forth, and he healed them all, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet. And he did all of these things that it might be fulfilled. But the part that I want you to know is this. I'm saying all of that to say that once the word of God is gone forth, it will be fulfilled. Your part is to say, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word." And if you can believe it, then he will certainly do it for you. Now turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 7. There is a story in 2 Kings chapter 7. In those days there was a famine and all of these things in the land and so forth. And things were just not going right for several years. And then all of a sudden here comes Elisha, the prophet. And he says in 2 Kings chapter 7. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. And I'm going to start at verse 1. "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord." Now that's "hear ye the word of the Lord." Now that's not "hear ye the word of Elisha." "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now there, prior to that, if you read the preceding, chapters and so forth, prior to that, there had been a lot of problems and nothing was going on. Economy was dried out. There was no food. There was famine in the place, no rain, all kinds of things just going on. See? And Elisha just came out of nowhere to give this kind of prophecy. Can you imagine, let's say we've been having all kinds of economic crisis, and so forth, let's say the price of gasoline right now is $3.10 and all of these things and so on, you know. And, you know, I just come out here and I say, thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow, gasoline will be sold for 99 cents. See, that's how dramatic what he's did. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? I'm bringing it home so we can understand. Things are so hard. Things are so high. I mean, prices, I mean, I went to the gas station the other just yesterday and so forth. It was like $3.10. Yeah, I don't even care anymore. I just buy it. Because what difference does it make? You know, you're going to pay $3 anyhow. You know, but suppose I just come in here and I said to you tomorrow, by this time tomorrow, gasoline all over this city will be sold for 99 cents. Suppose I say that. Now, I'm not saying that. I don't let anybody quote me. But I'm bringing out a point just to show you how dramatic the statement of Elijah was. You see, so, you know, people, I mean, it was so unbelievable that somebody listened to what somebody said. There was a Lord on whose the kings leaned and so forth. And he said to the man of God, look, you know, even if God would open windows in heaven, how can these things be? Can you imagine that? I mean, the man had the audacity to say, if the Lord will even make windows in heaven, might this thing even be? And then the prophet of the Lord. See, now you watch out now, because the Lord, see, the word is a sharp two-edged sword. See, if you believe it, it will be a blessing. But if you don't believe it, you are condemned already. Because that's what the Bible says. He that believeth on him has done, and he that believes not on the word is condemned already. How many of you know that's true? So he said all of these things and he doubted in his heart and so forth. And the prophet of the Lord said to him, well, you say, how can it be? He said, well, it will surely be, and you will see it, but you will not taste of it, because you have doubted the word of the Lord. And he said it and just left it like that. Now, that was the prophecy that this time tomorrow, you know, things are going to be so cheap. I mean, like, you almost, you know, it's like, I mean, things that were costing like 100 times that amount before, they're saying that we're going to sell it, let's say something that was costing $100, tomorrow will be sold for $1. I said, it's impossible. I said, well, Elisha spoke the word and just went. That's it. You see? Now, listen to the rest of the story in verse 3. Now, there were 4 lepers. See? Now, this is the way that God now is going to bring to pass that word.
Hallelujah.
He's now going to orchestrate events to bring, because Elisha already spoke that word, and he's gone. But God will now watch over that word. See? So there were 4 lepers in the entering of the gate, and they said to one another, why do we stay here and die? See, the lepers, according to the laws of Israel and so forth in those days, they were not allowed inside the city. They had to stay outside. See? And so, you know, they said to themselves, look, here's our situation. We are lepers anyhow. We cannot go into the city because of our condition. See, so if we say we will enter into the city, and even if we did, the famine is in the city anyway. They say, and the famine is in the city. And then we shall die there. See? And if we sit still here, we shall die here also anyhow. So there's only one thing to do. We've got to take a chance. How many of you know that? We have to take a chance. If we sit here, we die. If we go to the city, we die. So let's take a chance in the unknown. And they say, well, now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. Now we're going to take a chance. If they save us alive, then we shall live. And if they kill us, then we shall die. But we're not going to be any worse off than we are now anyhow. See, so they said, and one of them said that. And the other one said, well, I don't know. But, you know, they talked about it and said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. What do we have to lose? We're going to die anyway. So let's just see what happens. We know there is certainly death if we go back to the city, and if we stay here, we know we're certainly dead, but we don't know about this camp. So let's give it a try and see what happens. And they arose in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp, behold, there was no man there. Now, this was the camp of Syrians that had encamped around these people to make sure that not they wouldn't get any food. They had besieged them so many years. They cut off their supply. You know, they camped around and they made sure that these people couldn't go in and out and buy any food. They camped around them. See? Made sure that they cut off all their supply. This was the camp of Syrians that did that to Israel. See? And what happened? Why, when they got there, why was there no man in the camp? I mean, this was the siege that had besieged Israel for years. And now, what happened? Verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come against us. And they arose and they fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses and the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. Here's what happened. Four lepers, God dropped a thought in their hearts because he wanted to fulfill that word. He said, you know, one of them suddenly said, look, let's just get up. You know, sometimes it seems as if it's just an idea that you have, but it is the Lord. See, he says, you know, let's just get up. You know, and let's just do it. So they went. But before they got there, here's what happened. Now, this story is so incredible. Four lepers, they are hardly anything. You know, that to even, you know, they're even not a sight. I mean, they are just despised. They are the filth of the earth. But they are coming to the camp and their footsteps. The Lord magnified those footsteps. He began to tremble the earth with their footsteps. It began to sound like horses and chariots were coming. See? And the camp around, they just began to run for their lives. They said, no, there's a great army coming. And all of them, the lepers didn't hear it. Because if they heard it, they themselves would have flown. They didn't hear it. Amen. They didn't hear the noise. But everybody else in the camp of the Syrians, this, there is no extent to which God will not go in order to bring to pass his word. Making even just four lepers to scatter the whole camp. See? And when they all fled, and listen to what happened. When they now all fled, these guys got there and said, verse 8, and when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, they saw it was empty, they ate and drank, and they carried some silver and gold, they went to raiment, and they went to hide it, and then they came back. They went to another tent, they ate some more things, and they just kept doing this, you know. Finally, they said, look, this is not right, you know. You see, now the word of the Lord is waiting in the wings to be fulfilled. And the Lord is setting these things in motion. So now, the angel of the Lord, he drops a thought in their heart again. He said, look, this is not right. So we got to go back to the city and tell these people that there is, all these people have fled, and there's a lot of stuff here. See? So all of a sudden they said, you know, this is a day of joy, better do it. So they got up and they went to the city and told and said, look at all this food that we have. You know, they're like this, you know. And they said, you guys go into the camp of the Syrians, there's nobody there, there's all kinds of things. Everybody rushed there. And here's what happened. People began to loot. Have you ever seen these lootings on TV? When something is going on, maybe there's some natural disaster or, you know, some kind of riot somewhere. And then people take advantage and go into the stores and so forth. They love to do those things in some of these cities like Los Angeles and all of these places. They go into the stores, they loot the whole place. You know, I watched on TV when they had Katrina, you know, issues and so forth, you know, over there in New Orleans and so on. And then, you know, they went and looted all over the place and so forth, you know. Now, these people went, they looted, and here's what happened. So they came and called to the porter of the city, and they told them, say, we came to the camp of the Syrians, they were fled and so forth, and he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house. Verse 12, and the king arose in the night and said to his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. See, they know that we'll be hungry, so they set a, you know, they've set a trap for us and so forth, you know. So the king still wasn't believing, see. He thought it was a trap. He thought the Syrians kind of left so that they would come in there and then they would fall in on them and kill them all. So the king wasn't believing. And then one of his servants said, the Lord was still watching that word. So the Lord was going to prompt another servant to set the king straight. So one of his servants said to the king, say, look, let me take some people and check it out. So we're going to check out this thing. So they took a few five horses and so forth. They went in and they checked it out and all of that. And then they came back. See? And then they told the people, they told the king, and all of these things and so forth, you know. And then finally, they believed that it was for real. So everybody rushed in there. See? Now, so the king now, see, he now You know, people were just doing and getting all of these things and so forth. Verse 16. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. God did all of that just to fulfill the word that Elisha spoke. See? And finally, there was two parts to the word. The part was that these things will happen tomorrow, and it was almost impossible. There was no way that anybody could think that that would happen. But there was such a surplus that came from the camp of the Syrians when they all ran away, that the people looted the place and started selling these things for cheap, just like the word of the Lord said. And the guy who didn't believe it, here's what happened to him. In verse 17, and the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, that same man that didn't believe the first time, to have charge over the gate, because people were just rushing in and out and so forth. So the king couldn't say, you stay here, you be in charge, make sure that there's no violence or whatever, and so forth like that. You know, but because of the press, the people were just rushing, the people, they just trod over him and killed him. See? Just like that. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken. Verse 18. Two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of flour for a shekel, and by this time tomorrow in the gate of Samaria, it happened exactly, and the other guy to whom he told, because you didn't believe the word of the Lord, you will see it and you will not eat of it. It happened exactly because he saw it and he never ate of it. Now, look at all that God did there just to watch over his word. Look at how he motivated the lepers. Look at all of these things that he did just to bring his word to pass. Now, when God gives promise to you in your life, your role is not to worry about it. That's why I read that first opening verse, and I'm going to go back to it again. Mark chapter 4. That's why I read that. I'm going to read it to you again. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read it one more time so that you can now tie it together. Because perhaps when I read it at the beginning, you were wondering, what was that all about? But here's what it is. Mark chapter 4. And let me read it to you, what it says about that parable. He said in verse 26, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring forth and grow, and he knoweth not how. See, your business is not to worry how. The Lord will bring it to pass. See, you plant the seed. The last couple of weeks or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the seed, another parable. You sow the seed. The seed is your faith. The soil is the promise of God. You water it with your praise, with your thanksgiving and all of these things. And you bring the sunshine, which is a positive outlook. So it's your confession of faith. And the next thing you know, you get a harvest. See? And when you get a harvest, you know you always get more grain than what you sowed. That means your faith will increase because of what you see that the Lord did in answer to your faith. Now, this aspect, this is another parable, a slightly different variation, but he's saying that, look, when you sow the seed, you know, you don't stay up all night worrying about whether the seed is going to grow. How many of you do that? You plant something in your garden and then all night long you are worrying whether it's going to grow. You just sleep. You don't even care. You know, and the next thing you know, night and day you sleep. And then here's what happens. The thing grows by itself. The self-sustaining word of God. It will sustain itself because it is self existent. Self-existent means in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Because the Word is God, that makes that Word self-existent. See? And because He is self-existent, it means He can also sustain itself. You cannot be God if you had a beginning. You cannot be God if you have an ending. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
See? And you cannot be self-existent unless you can be self-sustaining. Because before anything was, you sustained yourself. See? So, to be self-existent means you are also self-sustaining. It means this word will sustain itself. Once spoken, you don't need to worry about it. Just believe it. Every promise that God ever gave will come to pass. How many of you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
The promise that we shall become like Christ. He said, God predestined those that he foreknew. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, to become. See? Predestined them to be in the image of Christ. We shall have that promise. How many of you say praise the Lord? Now let me read that to you real quick as we begin to get ready to close this message with a rally. In Romans chapter 8, here's what he said in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, see, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many. So that image of Christ that he promised us is coming. But every day in your lives, on a daily basis, everything that God has ever promised, whether it's in the word, see, whether you got it by the written word or by the spoken word. See, of course, we know that if you don't obey the written word, it's unlikely that God will give you the spoken word. See, but whether you found it written in the scriptures or God spoke directly to your spirit, either way, whatever he promised, he will bring it to pass. Your duty and your role is to believe it. How many of you say amen to that? And if you can believe it, it will come to pass every time. Now, you don't need to dig it up. You don't need to worry about it. You just need to believe it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 4. I want to read how Abraham dealt with the promise in the face of all odds. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. He says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. See, the word came to him by promise that you will become the father of nations. And as we heard last week, Abraham, he changed that faith into action. He changed his name. And there was an action to it. He changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, which is the father of nations, as yet having not even a single child. And he did not even consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, he didn't care that Sarah was barren. He didn't care that Sarah had been in that condition, you know, for 75 years or whatever. He didn't care. See, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He didn't care about even his own body. His seed was dead. He didn't care, nor even the deadness of Sarah's womb, because he was 100 years old and his wife was 90 years old, and they were past the, you know, their youth of bringing forth children. He didn't care about that. He just held on to the word of the Lord. See, and the Lord, and the Bible says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, how many of you can give glory to God when God has given you a promise, even though it seems like it's not forthcoming? See, can you believe that the word will sustain itself? Can you believe like Joseph? See, they threw him into that dungeon, and I guarantee you, he was in there and the devil told him. We'll see about those dreams now. See, they threw him in there, and the devil, you know the devil, he likes to do that, see. You know, he would like to come to you and try to throw things in your face. So he definitely threw it in Joseph's face. You know, and then while he was sitting there, Joseph probably said, I know what he has promised. And the next thing you know, among themselves, they were debating, well, we can't leave him there and so forth. You know, here comes the Lord. See, he sends a group, you know, of merchants coming that way so that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. Everything God is orchestrating it. And then they see, so Reuben says, let's do this. So they sold him into slavery. And all, you know the rest of the story and all of these things. And God, the Bible said, the word of the Lord came and tried him. See, the word of the Lord always came and tried him. See, so when that word, the word not only sustains itself, the word of the Lord is also tried. All that time, you know, God will try that word in your life. See, to see whether you are going to give up. But real faith, never gives up. How many of you know that's true?
Hallelujah.
The real faith never gives up. They will hang in there. And your duty this morning is to see the word of God the way it is and believe it with all of your heart. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, the assurance that you have is that God will watch over his word to perform it. He said, the word that's gone out of my mouth shall not return unto me void. But it's going to prosper in the thing whereunto I send it, and it will accomplish that which I please. So when God has given promise concerning your life, now you check it this morning. See, do you have some dormant promises or hitherto unfulfilled promises in your life that seem like they won't come to pass? Perhaps you've waited a year, 2 years, I don't care how many years you waited. See, sometimes people have to wait many, many years. See, they have to wait many years. But the Lord is not bound by the time. The Lord is only bound by his word. Once he speaks the word will sustain itself. It will come to pass no matter what. It doesn't matter whether some storm raises up. The word that he said, let's go to the other side, will come to pass. And you will go to the other side. But you must believe it. If you don't believe it, you are going to get hurt along the way. Even though you will still get to the other side. But you'll get hurt if you don't believe it. See? And if you don't believe it and you upset the Lord enough, he might just get rid of it. See? Because when he brought them out of Egypt and gave them promise, and they didn't believe it, they provoked him enough, he got rid of all of them and brought out a group that would believe it. But the word of God must always be fulfilled. Some people will get to that promise land. Now, whether it is them for whom it was first spoken or not, it doesn't matter. But that word will be fulfilled. The word is that you will go to the promised land. Well, the ones to whom it was first given did not believe it, so they perished. But the word will sustain itself. The word will never fail. Praise ye the Lord. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Will you settle that word in your heart this morning? Can you say like Mary, after the Holy Ghost, after the angels spoke to her, said the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and do all of these things and so forth. And she said, how can these things be? And then she explained to him, said, look, don't worry about it. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that's going to come upon you. And she said, well, I know that word is true. So be it unto me according to thy word. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the book of Luke chapter 5, there is a story, and I'm going to close with this. There is a story there of Peter, and Peter, he can fish. He knows how to fish. See? And the Lord said to him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. That's in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. Now, all night long, see, so he said, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. And he said, nevertheless, at thy word. How many of you can say nevertheless at thy word this morning? You know, Peter, he said, look, I'm a master fisherman. I have been on this lake all night long. We have thrown the fish, the bait, the nets, the hook, the everything. We've caught nothing. The fish are just not biting. It's not the season. We're not going to catch anything tonight. See, but here comes the master. Amen. The master said, let out your net for a draught, and so on. And it seemed like, we've been doing this all night. The Lord said, do it. So Peter said, well, even though I've been doing this all night long, and I have caught nothing, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let out. And when he did, the next thing they knew, their nets almost break. Because once the Lord gave the word, that word began to resonate even in the deeps. The fish begin to hear that voice. Amen. And they begin to just go towards where Peter was. Because the master spoke the word. See, it doesn't matter with your situation. It doesn't matter how long you have faced whatever it is you are facing. Once the Lord gives the word, it is over. You just got to believe it. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you give the Lord a hand clap for that this morning? Yes, sir. Now you say, I have toiled all night long like Peter. You say, I have been 25 years waiting for this promise like Abraham. I don't even know how many years Joseph had to wait for that promise, but it doesn't matter. Wait, I say on the Lord. Amen. He said, my soul waited patiently for the Lord. You wait, because it will come to pass. Though it tarry, it will not tarry long. You wait for it, because it will come to pass. The scripture cannot be broken. Every scripture that God gives, whether written, see, or spoken, it cannot be broken. See, once he gives that word, it cannot be broken. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And he has given us promise. See, he says he, every promise in Christ is yea and amen. Everything that he has already promised us is fulfilled in Christ, if you believe it. That's where all the power lies. It's in the word of God. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now I'm going to pray the prayer of faith this morning. And I want you to say, if you say, well, Lord, I know thy word is real. And I know your word is self-existent and it will always sustain itself. The Bible says when they limited God, he could do nothing. Jesus marveled at their unbelief when they didn't believe him and so forth. And he just left the place. He couldn't do anything. But if they believe it, he always comes through for them. Praise ye the Lord. If you will believe the word this morning, the things that have seemed dormant in your life all these years, the Lord will quicken our word. The holy watchers are watching over his word, the alerters and the patrollers. It is their responsibility, the angels that excel in strength, it's their responsibility to hearken to the voice of that word. They will make sure that word comes to pass. If at one time, he says, who will go down there and deceive this man to go down to Ramoth Gilead and fall so that the prophecy of my servant might be fulfilled? See? And every spirit jumped up. One of them said, I will do it this way. The other said, I will do it that way. And the Lord said, by which way will you do it? It took even a lying spirit. But the Lord will bring that word to pass. Because he said, dogs will lick your blood. See? And it came to pass exactly. You have to read the story. So this morning, we are going to believe God together. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I'm going to believe God with you this morning. We are going to take a hold of the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that the word of God is alive. It's quick. It is powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. See, this word is forever settled in heaven and it sustains itself. It's always there before Abraham was. I am. How many of you know that's true? Before Abraham was, I am. And that word will be the I am in your life. If you can only believe it this morning. Praise ye the Lord. We are going to pray together. Let's lift up our hands and say, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you gave because you said you are watching over it to fulfill it. Praise the name of the Lord. Say, I am the Lord that performeth the counsel of my messengers, that even frustrates the tokens of the liars. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. There is a powerful force here this morning to help you to believe. To help you to attain unto the promises of God. Some of them in the olden days, they didn't even attain to the promise, yet they believed. As long as you believe, it is counted to you for righteousness. Whether you get the promise today, Whether you get it tomorrow, if you believe today, God already counts it as your righteousness. And everything that God ever promised you, once you doubt the Lord and so forth, the Bible said they limited the Holy One of Israel. I don't want you to put any limit on God. Because when we limit him, he can't do anything for us. I want those of you that say, today, I want to believe the word of God in its entirety. I want to believe that the word of God is self-evident, it is self-existent, and it is self-sustaining. And it will sustain itself. I don't have to think about it. Just like that man, he didn't have to think about the seed that he planted. You can sleep night and day, but it will come to pass. I want those of you who want that kind of prayer this morning, I'm going to join with you in prayer. See? Because the Lord, he wants every one of us to be successful. He wants your life to be complete. The Bible says we are complete in him. He wants you to have the victory on every side. See? And if the promises of God for you so far have seemed a little out of reach, well, we just gave you the revelation this morning. All you have to do is believe that it will come to pass. And don't lose any sleep over it. It will come to pass. Praise the Lord. I mean, if you want that prayer this morning, you know, I don't want to come to church without trying all of my heart to help everybody. And if you need prayer, I will believe with you this morning that the Lord will help you to elevate your faith into his word, and that you will begin to see that that word will sustain itself. And whether it takes one day, 2 days, or a week, it will come to pass. Come forward this morning if you want that prayer. If you want that prayer, I want you to come forward. I am going to pray the prayer of faith with you this morning, that everything that hitherto has not worked right in your life, God is going to help you to see that the word of God will sustain itself. Praise the name of the Lord. Now the Lord has promised some things for some of you in your life. He said, you will be great. You know, like he said to somebody in the Bible, he said, he shall be great. And he shall be called the son, you know, of the highest. He said that about Jesus. You know, the Lord has also said to some of you, praise the name of Jesus. I remember some years ago, I attended a high school graduation ceremony. Not this year, many years ago. I think it was some years ago. You know, there were several of the people there, so forth. Dabby and some other people were there. You know, and I used to, you know, address people a little bit. And I said, you guys will be great in life. Praise the name of the Lord. And everything that God has ever spoken in your life, you must believe it. And it will come to pass. Praise the name of Jesus. Those of you who are here, come forward this morning. Come closer this morning. We're going to believe the Lord together. Yes, we're going to believe the Lord together. I want everybody that is here, grab somebody's hand on the left and on the right. We're going to believe this together. Praise the name of Jesus. Now we're going to see what God is going to do for us. Amen. 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 Now remember the message. You must recognize that the Lord will watch over his word. You must recognize that the word will sustain itself. You don't need to lose any sleep over it. Father, in the name of Jesus, your people are here gathered together in front of me. Say, unto Shiloh shall the gathering of the people be. Not unto me, Lord, but they have gathered unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your word has pierced their hearts and they have believed. Father, O Lord, what we are declaring this morning is that we recognize and we believe that thy word will sustain itself, even in our lives. And every one of you that are here this morning, I want you to say with me, Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Help thou my unbelief.
Help thou my unbelief.
I know your word will sustain itself.
I know your word.
And everything that you have promised,
both in the written word,
and that you have also spoken to me, it shall come to pass. Therefore, be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Father, Lord, your people have prayed this prayer of faith, and I pray with them, Lord. Because you sent me here this morning with this message. And Lord, because there is a need for it. And I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit that gave this message, even if it works the same way, I have to believe that this word will also take effect in their lives. This word will take effect in your lives. And God will meet your every need. Everything that the Lord has ever promised you, it will come to pass.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I rebuke the spirit of unbelief.
Amen.
The voice of reason and the voice of doubt, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We will believe the word of God. As for me and my house, say, I will believe the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, these people have declared that they will believe the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Therefore, let that word begin to come to pass in their lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord has given the word this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Great will be the host of the alertas. Great will be the host of the watchers. Great will be the company of the patrollers that will watch over that word. And they will watch over the word to be fulfilled in your life. For it will not come back unto the Lord void,
yes,
but it accomplish its purpose.
Amen.
And the Lord's name will be glorified.
Amen.
This the Lord will do.
Amen.
That the Father,
yes, Lord,
may be glorified in the Son.
Amen.
And we give you all the praise, Lord, and all the glory. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now let me declare to you the word of God this morning. You just came and stood in this prayer. You did not see heavens open up. You probably didn't see the earth open up and so forth. You probably didn't see any lightning or thunderings. But the word of God abided forever. It's not by your senses. It's not by anything you feel. But it is by the word of God. You believe that word. And it will come to pass in your life. Praise the name of Jesus. I want the choir to come and help me. Amen. Let's sing forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let it also be settled in your hearts this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is settled in heaven forever. Oh Lord, thy word is settled.